Well, Paul here continues with this metaphor of light. And as we saw last week, light defines. It is life that light that gives life. All that is in existence comes in existence by the life-giving power of God. He says in creation, "Let there be light." And from that moment, then light, natural light, dawns. And by the light of the sun and by his word of his power, all things begin to grow, right? There's light, by definition, is life-giving. We have our existence in and by the Lord. He is the source of our light. And Paul, in dealing with this language of light, speaks about it in the way that it defines. You are defined by it, as you note there in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. You are distinguished with this designation called children of light. You may recall how the children of Israel were distinguished in this way. When God acted in the Exodus event, when he redeemed Israel from Egypt, there were, remember, those last two plagues when God's judgment came on the world at that time. The ninth plague, you remember, was darkness. Actually, from Exodus chapter 10, it says in verse 22, "And there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days, and they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived." God made this distinction between the Egyptians and the children of Abram. Darkness, the judgment of God falls upon the land, pitch darkness. But there's light for the children of Israel. And then that final plague of death to the firstborn comes, and God, through the Passover lamb, satisfies, as it were, for the sins of the firstborn among the Israelites. And he delivers them from that world of darkness, of God's judgment, and from the angel of death, that wrath of God that would be unleashed upon Egypt. And by the Passover lamb, God takes them out of that domain of darkness. And you'll remember how there God went before the children of Israel by day through a pillar of cloud and by night through the pillar of fire, so that they could see their way by night. And so he lit the way before them. God, actually, like the legs of God, present, illumining their path, guiding them from the domain of darkness into his kingdom of light. They were his children, promised to Abram. God's acting and keeping that promise, delivering them for the sake of Abram from the world of judgment and death in Egypt. And so all of that, for the sake of the promise of Abram, to preserve alive a descendant of Abraham, according to promise, until the day should come that true and eternal exodus, that deliverance from sin and death and the wrath of God forever. When Jesus Christ, the seed of Abram, the true Israel, would come, and God brought him forth, our Passover lamb, who shed his blood for our sin, redeemed us out of the world of wrath and condemnation, and brought us into the light of his resurrection glory. In the triumph of Christ, we have a new exodus, with Christ's body being brought forth from the grave. God secures for us an eternal salvation for Jews and Gentiles all in Jesus Christ. And you as the redeemed are children now of light, of that eternal light of God's redeeming grace in the Lord Jesus. And you are marked and distinguished from the rest of the world in this way, as being God's very own children, redeemed by the blood of His Son. And so Paul says that you are children of light. You are no longer darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ can it be said that we are light, that we belong to Him. It's because of what He has done for us when He was shut up for 3 days in darkness under the wrath of God the Father for us. And because of what He's done in vanquishing the grave and being raised to life and immortality, because of Christ and His redeeming work, you are children of light. So it's defining, and Paul underscores that for us. It's not that we were once living in darkness. It says that we once were darkness. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But now by the grace of God and the mercy of God, you've been made alive together with Jesus Christ. And you are no longer what you once were. Sort of like that great hymn from Charles Wesley. You'll remember that line. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? That dungeon flamed with light. Mine eye, as it says, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. That light that it flames the dungeon of our darkness. And what is that light? It is the stunning revelation of the mercy of God, the amazing love, how can it be? It is this truth that Christ has died for our sins, and God has illumined and enlightened your mind and opened your heart to believe the gospel, to see the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and your life is not what it once was. So it's in this grace of God that He now exhorts us to then walk in the light as children, to be what you are, to walk in a manner consistent with who you are by grace. So light is defining. It defines who we are. But it's also, as Paul goes on to indicate, light is discerning. Light discerns. And so as Paul speaks about the Christian church here, you as children, he not only distinguishes us in this manner of who we are in that distinction from the rest of the world, but he also goes on to open up this fact that by this light of the gospel, you now are given this grace of discernment. Light discerns. So notice what Paul says there in verse 10. As he goes on and speaks of light, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. He says there in verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. As children of the light, walking in the light of the Lord, we're called here to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, Paul will flesh this out a little bit more in Romans chapter 12. For instance, you'll recall how Paul puts it there. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, right, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then to expound on that. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Some translations actually, one commentary actually puts it, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to renew our minds. We're to test by testing that we might discern what is the will of God, what is pleasing and acceptable to God in the sight of the Lord. You may recall how in Philippians, in Paul's prayer for the church, he says, it's my prayer for you that your love may abound more and more. Remember how Paul says that we're to walk in love? Right, as been loved, so that he prays that we may that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all what? With knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So this knowledge, this love is to abound more and more. That love is to abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. Love isn't just some empty emotion and feeling. It's rooted and grounded in knowledge. It's exercised with discernment, right? This knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. But Paul is praying for the church that we might walk in discernment, that we might try to discern what is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Now, it's important to understand here what he's not saying. And Paul says trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. It's not like we've been put on some sort of Easter egg hunt. Where the parents go out and they hide all the eggs and all these places kind of randomly in the yard, up in trees, behind bushes, and in the deep grass, under rocks or whatever. And so we're out there just trying to find and discover these treasures, these eggs. When he says, try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord, it's not like we're on some sort of mystery quest. He's trying to figure it out, like, where is the will of the Lord? Is it sort of veiled and hidden? Every once in a while in our life, we might stumble across something. Oh, yeah, in the experience of life. Oh, this must be the will of God. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Keeping this statement in the midst of the entirety of his letter, in his whole ministry, which is to what? To make known the mystery of God's will. To open up what was once hidden in ages past of God's plan of salvation. Remember how Paul there at the beginning of Ephesians with respect to the blessings of God's grace in Jesus Christ, not just that that we have been have redemption through his blood, verse 8 and 9, he says, we have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him in heaven and things on earth. That is a very specific revelation of God's plan in all of its comprehensiveness, to unite everything in heaven and earth in Jesus Christ. The insight and wisdom has been given to us in Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To know Christ is to have the mind of God, to understand his will. particularly in view here is God's self-disclosure to us in the pages of Scripture through the ministry of the prophets and now the apostles as Paul labors to preach and set forth Christ crucified. We're not on some Easter egg hunt to try to find the will of God. God has disclosed for us His will in the 66 books of the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. And the central revelation of God and His character and His plan, what He's about, what He's up to with respect to our redemption, it's all been made manifest to us so that we're not in darkness as to the will of God. Remember how 1 Corinthians, Paul states it. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, nor for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We can't discover God and know what He's like. We can't instruct God and tell Him what He'll do and what His will or desires might be. But God can make Himself known to us and instruct us. And He has instructed us, and He's given us His mind and His will for our salvation and the person of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And so, it's this importance to understand the truth of God as He's revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. You might think of what He says in 2 Timothy. Paul instructing Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. Thinking of not just the apostolic ministry, but thinking about learning from God who's revealed Himself in Christ through the ministry of the apostles, from whom you've learned it and have firmly believed, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God has made known to us His will in Jesus Christ. And we're to discern. We're to continue to learn. We're to continue to grow in the understanding of the Scriptures and the mind of God as He's revealed it to us. Remember how Jesus on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples there on that first Christian Sabbath, when Jesus appeared to them, they didn't recognize Him there at first as He was teaching them, and He taught them in all the Scriptures. He took them to the writings of Moses and the prophets, remember the Psalms, and all the Scriptures, how they spoke concerning Himself. That's our Sunday school lesson every Lord's Day. Through all the Scriptures, we're continuing to learn and to see the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and God's will and purpose for us in Him, to be instructed, to learn from Jesus Christ as we walk with Him, as His children. We've not arrived. We never graduate in the school of Jesus Christ until we have ascended in soul and then in body to be ever with the Lord. While we are in this age, we are ongoing in our study, our growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're children being brought to full manhood. This is why Paul preaches. It's why he prays and writes this letter to the church, so that they may be brought to the fullness of God, to that full manhood, not being tossed to and fro. And so he's saying that now, as children of light, having been given this knowledge this illuminating truth of the grace of God in Christ now grow and keep growing. Try to discern, keep discerning the will of God. Keep it before you. And that's, you'll see how he's continuing this whole idea down in Ephesians, in verse 15 of chapter 5. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Right? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? So this idea of being wise, wisdom, discernment, to be foolish. This word to the idea of being careful how you walk is also translated in some places as they were to walk circumspectly. It's a little bit of a clumsy translation for our modern English, but to walk circumspectly, it does capture the essence of the idea, is that we're to be able to see around us. Right? To have a sense of understanding, of wisdom, of knowing things around us. And not just to discern and see and understand things about us and in the world around us, but to things about ourselves as well. You know, darkness, it closes our ability to see. You've been in those moments or lights out, and you stumble across. You don't know where you are. You don't know how to get even through your own house, groping about for things. And in pitch darkness, if you've ever been caving, you get in a spot like that, I mean, you see nothing in front of you. That's the way it is without God and without Christ in the world. We may see all kinds of things around us in the world, but we don't understand it. We don't discern it. The unbeliever, the fool, says in his heart, there is no God. He gropes around, as Paul describes it. The Gentiles, in the futility of their minds, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardness of their heart. But you're not in darkness. God's given you the light of His Word. So we can walk circumspectly. We can see. Be wise. You know, as we'll never know as God knows. We'll never know as God knows. We'll never know all that God knows. There's this distinction between the Creator and the creature. Qualitatively and quantitatively different. There's a sense in which, the mind of God and the mind of the creature never intersects. We're not God. We're not God. We'll never know as He knows. Even when we're in heaven, we're finally there. We'll never know as God knows. We will know creaturely. We'll have perfect knowledge as creatures can have, as much as God has created us to have in His presence. But we'll never know as He knows. But we nevertheless have the mind of Christ. He's given us what we're to know concerning Him and our salvation and what we're to believe concerning God, rooted and anchored in Christ and the Christ of the Scriptures. And we are to we're to see around us, everything around us, in this light of Jesus Christ. Not walking around foolishly, but to understand what the will of God is. You're not those who are oblivious to the existence of God or the plan of God and what God is doing in the world, what is about to take place and is appearing. The unwise is blind to these things and stumble, but you are not that way as children of light. And so we're to walk in this knowledge, in this light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the Scriptures don't give us a full-orbed understanding of everything we might want to know. You remember the key passage in Deuteronomy 29:29? That that the hidden things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us and our children forever. There are things God has not revealed. Hidden things. But what He's revealed belongs to us. He may not have told us everything we might would want to know about this world, the world of science, the world of politics, the world of medicine. The Bible doesn't give us a full comprehensive treatment of everything in the life, in our life, in our world. So consequently, we can agree with unbelievers about a host of things. And we can disagree with believers about a host of things. But we're nevertheless called by the light of the truth. The revealed things belong to us and our children. And we're discern in the light of that revelation what we see in the things around us. We can spotlight falsehoods in our world. And we're called to be discerning in that way. Whether we're at work or at school, at home, in the grocery store, wherever we are, we're going to experience and hear thought patterns from the world. Ways of looking at the world, philosophies, even things that are really subtle. We're called here by the Apostle Paul as the church of Christ, and being given the light of God's revelation to discern and filter what we hear, what we're seeing, what we experiencing around us through what God has revealed to us in Jesus Christ. It's all to be passed through the sieve of our Savior and what He's made known in the Word. So we're to be discerning. You'll hear things. You're to believe. You believe in yourself. Right? You hear that. Just believe in yourself. You can do whatever you want to do. These are the desires. You were made this way, and so you're free to do whatever your desires would incline you to do. Just believe in yourself. Be yourself. Well, as a Christian, you're to be discerning. You're to hear that and know, wait a minute, is that true? Am I worthy of that trust in me? Is God calling me to put my trust in myself? Or has He not called me to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Him? Right? To believe in me, but believe in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll hear things like the most important thing is increasing profits and market share. The bottom line, you see, that's mandatory. That's what's significant and important for corporations and businesses. It's the end all, be all. Increasing the bottom line, being successful financially. It's what makes our world tick. Well, we can question that as Christians. Is that really what life consists of? Is that really what life is all about? We've given the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to walk and discern with wisdom, and that which is central to us. And the wisdom of God is in that self-sacrificial Christ who offered Himself for us. Are you passing everything through the Scriptures? Are you discerning your ways in the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Don't walk according to your experiences. Don't walk according to your feelings. Follow Christ. He called His disciples. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Christ says. Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always. Christ is with us in His teaching. Christ is with us in His Word. And we're to anchor ourselves in the soil of Christ and to live in the light of His revelation. Next week, we'll build on this idea of being discerning the will of God, as we consider Paul's third point of that in the light, things are exposed. And light not only defines, light discerns, but light exposes. What does it mean for us as a church, as the children of God, to be exposed in the light and to expose those things, darkness around us? And so we'll consider that together next week. Let's pray together.